It's the Lost Years Pod. Lost Years Pod. Running through this show called Boy Meets World is what we're doing. Sid and Tay are your friends who will always stand by you. It's the Lost Years Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Lost Years, a retrospective fan cast. I'm Tay.
I'm Sid.
And this is season 5, episode 5.
Nice.
Yeah.
It took me a minute.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's cool. I like that's same cool. Numbers.
Yeah. Symmetry. Okay. What are you nostalgic for this week?
I'm sorry. It's late.
It is late. Let's just peek behind the curtain here. This is later than we normally record the podcast. I had to go get a haircut, and we are recording two this week, so, you know, bear with this brand new energy. We've had early morning energy, we've had regular time energy, and this is late night energy.
This may be wild, I don't know.
Who knows what's gonna happen? Okay, but for real, what are you nostalgic for this week?
Charm bracelets?
Oh, cute!
I just was thinking about those recently, because, I don't know, it was a very fun way to accessorize things that you cared about. Mm-hmm. While being a kid, because they just had little fun little charms that existed, and it was fun trying to go through and collect just certain things that you felt represented you. And yeah, I don't really have much to say here, just like the last episode. But I thought that they were really neat, and it's like a thing of past culture that I just forget existed, and yeah, then once in a while I'll just remember and be like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it feels very like Y2K charm bracelets.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever had one. I don't think I ever did. My cousins were really big into like Pandora charm bracelets.
I was going to say that was the big thing, because yeah. I definitely had one as well. And why did I have one? I have no idea.
Listen. But yeah, I never had charm bracelets, but I did always admire a good charm bracelet. I think they're so cute and fun for sure. I'm not big on jewelry. Like, I don't wear a lot of stuff on my body.
I was noticing that recently. I don't know why. I think, like, I've only seen you wear, like, your earrings and then never really anything else.
And honestly, that's new for me. Yeah. I just got my ears re-pierced, and so I started re-wearing earrings again.
Nice.
Yeah, I just don't like having things. Like, I was really big into, like, purity culture when I was in high school. And so I did have a purity ring that my grandmother gave me. It didn't say, like, true love waits or anything on it. But, like, it was, like, a ring I wore on that finger that was, like, my purity ring. But past that, the only thing I've ever worn is, like, fitness watches.
I mean, those are a wonderful thing to have as well.
Yeah. And I didn't even really like wearing big ones. I wore pretty, like, I wore the thinnest, smallest possible one for a really long time. And then that one just like exploded and I had to get a watch. And then I got used to the watch and was like, fine, I'll get another watch. So,
yeah. I think what's funny now is the charm bracelets themselves, because they're still Pandora that's still existing. It's weird because now it's like an older parent or like boomer type of thing now to just have. Like, I don't want to get one now because of that.
Right.
But they definitely still exist. And I'm always like, what types of charms do they still have now?
Yeah. What are they trying to remember?
You know, it's like some suburban mom that gets one that has like a little wine glass, like, oh, it's going crazy.
It's 9 o'clock. Oh, man.
Yeah. What are you nostalgic for?
Chinatown.
Okay.
Specifically in Chicago.
Okay.
I was inspired to think of this because my hair, my new barber is on the south side of Chicago, and I went to go visit my best friend afterwards, and I rode on the bus through Chinatown. I rode on the bus through Chinatown, and I haven't been to like Chicago's Chinatown in, I want to say, probably 6-7 years. Like, it's been a really long time. And I used to go all the time. When I was in college, we went a ton because it was right there. We could take the red line like one block, one station south, and it was right there. And so I was talking to my best friend. I was like, we should go to Chinatown and just like hang out. And she's like, yes, what do you want to do? And she started naming stuff because she lives very near Chinatown. And I was like, sure. Any of those things. Whatever, man. I haven't been in so long. And I was just thinking about how much I used to love going there. I don't have, again, like, I also don't have too much to say about this, but I was just like, I miss hanging out in Chinatown. I used to go all the time, and I just like, when I started moving progressively further north, I stopped going to Chinatown because it's very far away to get to.
Yeah.
And yeah, I miss it. I wish I spent more time there because it is so cool. I feel like most major cities have a Chinatown or like an Asian town of some sort, just like a neighborhood. And I always really love that. I love a collection of just like humans that are similar gathering and creating and building something. And I think that's beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah. I flipped it and made it meaningful. How about that?
I know. I was about to come back with some like witty thing about Nashville not having one, which makes sense. But, you know, I agree with you.
So, yeah.
It was funny whenever you first said Chinatown, I was just thinking, okay, which one?
Which one, yeah.
Because I'm thinking of about five or six.
There's a lot. There's the ones that I've been to, New York, D.C. I think there's one in Washington. There was some sort of Asian town that we went to. I hate to call it Asian town. It was just like East Asian. Yeah. I want to say it was like Chinatown in Washington when I went to go visit my friend a couple years ago.
How about a neighborhood? Is that better?
Neighborhood is good. Yeah, thank you. yeah, Asian neighborhood, that's much better. Yeah, those are the ones I've been to, and obviously here.
I really love me moving back to Michigan soon. Detroit has a really lovely set of neighborhoods because, again, Detroit's actually really cool, and I feel like people just don't know it. but they have definitely like a Mexican town, and there's a really good Polish town, like a very, very wonderful Polish neighborhood. And so especially like Paczkis and everything are so good. But their biggest one is pretty much primarily downtown as well, is Greektown.
Oh, yeah. We have a Greektown, but ours is tiny.
Ours is huge. We have like a whole there's Greektown Casino is a whole big deal in downtown. God. But Greektown itself, the restaurants that are around there are amazing. And I have been so excited to be able to actually like go back because it's near, you know, a bunch of the sporting events or like the theater district as well down there. And so I'm like, there's so many things that I'm looking forward to. But it wasn't until you said Chinatown that I was just thinking about all the different neighborhoods.
Fun. Mm. Culture.
It's, I love it. It's amazing.
It's everywhere.
Can you believe we all have it?
Well, we don't all have it. Let's be real. Hey, you want to get into it?
Yeah. Season 5, episode 5. I had 4 written down still, but that's not right. Season 5, episode 5 is titled The Witches of Pembroke. The episode aired on October 31st, 1997.
Oh, did it really? Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I knew it was... Okay, so this one's a Halloween episode, for the record. Yeah. Really, really in season for this. But I was curious if it actually aired, like, what day, basically, it actually aired. And that's fun. It aired on actual Halloween.
Yeah, I always look up the dates in the synopses afterwards just because I like to go in, you know, not knowing what the show is. And just based on the first few scenes and however they started, like, context clues, they mentioned Halloween a couple times. And I was like, huh, yeah, okay, this does make sense. And then whenever I looked it up, it was the exact same, like October 31st.
That's so cute. I love that.
It was directed by Alan Meyerson and was written by Stephen Hibbert. And the synopsis is, Jack's spooky new girlfriend causes a serious rift between him and Eric while Topanga faces her fear of flying.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's really good. Okay, let's get into it. We are at the apartment. We're spending a lot of time in the apartment in this one, as you could probably guess. Eric is primping in the mirror for a night out before he calls to Jack to hurry up. Jack says he should go without him because he's not very good in the clubs. And Eric says, Jack, one word, you're with me. And Jack's like, I know, I'm always with you. New guy in town, don't know a lot of people, so I get to tag along. Eric's like, come on, Jack, this is a no frowning zone. And you don't just get to tag along. Now get behind me. Jack says he's uncomfortable picking up girls, and Eric replies, watch and learn, and then gets really in his face and sort of grins at him, and Jack asks what he's doing, and Eric, still in his face, says, loving you with my eyes. Jack replies, please don't, and Eric says, the ladies love it. Come on. They leave the apartment, and Jack asks, so if the ladies love it, how come you don't have a girlfriend? Eric turns back to him and says, I don't know. There is a girl in the hallway, though, and she says hi before Eric gets in her face and says, hi, I'm Eric Allison Matthews. And she takes a step back and says, you know, you're the reason we have campus escorts. Eric says, yes, I am, which is truly a wild choice. she steps around him to Jack and says, you must be Jack Hunter. Jack's like, how'd you know that? She says, I like to know who my neighbors are. I'm Millie from 3B. That's now 5 different girls that have lived in 3B. Okay. Eric says, Well, Millie from 3B, we're heading down to O'Dooley's. Why don't you join us? And backs into the elevator. She says, I'm not much of a club person. Jack says, oh, neither am I. She turns back to him and goes, you're cute. Why don't you show me your apartment? Jack says, sure. And they head back in as the elevator closes on Eric saying, are you kidding me? And that is the end of the scene.
Okay. When Jack and Eric are standing near each other and Eric gets right in his face, there's a certain chemistry that they have.
Yeah.
Which I figured. I've like seen things online, but it's just nice.
Yeah. The bromance is alive and well.
Yeah. Now, the follow-up to it is, what lady loves the intense stares like that? Nobody. Nobody does. I was literally
I'm going to tell this story because I know that Jenna does listen to the podcast. My best friend went on a date today, and apparently the whole time that they were like looking at things together, the guy was just like staring at her intensely, like off to the side, and she was like trying really hard not to make eye contact with him. So all that to say, she was not into it. Girls don't love this.
It's really fun. I think like it's cute if like you're doing something and you don't like notice that the person's looking at you, and like then if you like happen to notice, it's like, oh, that's cute, but not like all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're just staring at me while we're both supposed to be looking at a thing together, I'm like, what, why are you, it's over there. Stop looking at me. It's over there.
I don't know if they paid to be there, but that's, I would whip that out of, we,
the place that they went was free, so they didn't have to, there was no paying to get in, but still.
Still, it's weird.
It's weird.
The biggest thing here, too, is that Candace Cameron Bure is this lovely new gal, Millie.
I didn't mention that, but thank you for doing so. Yeah, it's Candace Cameron Bure, who we don't like.
No.
she's not a good person, but she was real fun in this, I will say.
Yeah.
As an actress, she was doing her job, so.
Back in the 90s? She's great.
Back in the 90s, we loved her.
She was the
I think
it
she
girl.
Was still in Full House in this moment.
Yeah, which was also on ABC, which is really funny to do these fun crossovers.
Yeah, very silly, very fun.
What I did find weird is whenever she mentions, like, you're the reason why we have campus escorts, and obviously it's strange that he agrees. What is weird is that I know that Eric used to have game with some ladies, and so I'm like, what happened to you?
That's a very good
point. You used to
date
a lot of people. Why are you so weird all of a sudden? And
you
like,
used to be
borderline,
sorry,
borderline, like, really creepy.
Yeah. That is, you know, they really just kind of throw on Eric whatever fits the moment. And it is a very strange pattern where they're, you're right, he did used to have game, he had lots of girlfriends.
That was like the whole thing in the first season was he was like always bringing home somebody else, and we were trying to keep track of like who he was actually dating. That I don't know, now it's weird.
That's a great point.
I also had mentioned here girl number five. Did you say five?
This is girl number five.
I had it off. I said six, but
I also had to go back and count because I was like, is this six? Is this five? There were two in the first episode, two in the third one or the fourth one.
And
so
then
this is
one
the fifth
right now.
One.
Okay.
Yes. So far.
Girl number five.
Girl number five.
What's going on in 3B?
This is the largest apartment of all time.
And yeah, the fact that Millie is just so very forward, it caught me off guard a little bit. And just excited to see how this episode goes. What's also crazy, I think what they did with Candace's outfit or just appearance in this episode, she already has like blonde brown hair, but she has this wig on that is so platinum blonde.
It's very blonde. I was wondering about her hair because it is very, it's like platinum blonde. You're right. It is her haircut though. Like she does have that haircut at this stage in her life. And so I was also curious about that. It could be real. It could be fake.
The weirdest thing is that she was already so pale, and so to have the very platinum blonde hair, it made her look a little ghostly.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
which is like fitting for this episode, but it was definitely a different look because you always see DJ Tanner as having like the long full hair. And even when she got the haircut, it was still very fashionable. It's like when Topanga got her haircut. Like, it just, it made sense. It was good, but this is very
different.
It was different.
Yeah. Okay, so the next scene, we are back at the apartment. Eric comes home, back in, calling hello. He gets no answer, and after checking a couple more times that no one's home, he takes his pants off. He's wearing smiley face boxer shorts. I feel like that's an important detail. He opens some mail as he opens the window blinds out to the balcony, and we see Jack and Millie making out there. Jack breaks the kiss and says, Eric, and comes inside. Eric, buddy, what are you doing home? He's like, they turned O'Dooley's into a Starbucks. I was in my third dance before I noticed. Jack goes, look, I'm sorry you had a bad night, but I got Millie out there. Eric says, oh, my manners. I'll go say hello. Eric goes out into the balcony, still in his underwear, and says, hi, Millie. I'm really glad you and Jack hooked up. He doesn't have a lot of friends out here. Millie responds with, it's very important to me to have Jack. Don't get in my way. Scary music plays, and that's the end of the scene.
Yeah, it definitely threw me off by the end of that scene. I thought it was like a normal, fun, cute, like type of situation, even though it was a little bit off-putting of how she was acting. But they just really 180'd it real quick. I was nervous.
It's so weird, though, like that she would respond in this way. It just doesn't make any sense. Because like if she had just been as disarming as she's been with Jack, that she probably would have had no problems. But she went real hard in the paint with, like, it's very important for me to have Jack. Like, whoa, okay.
You just met.
This is a really intense, like, obviously I'm going to feel weird about this.
What I like to believe is that the writer's room, because the episode is the length that it is, and every single scene has a purpose a little bit. That's They're true, like, we have to establish it from the get-go that this true, is so weird.
A very good point.
What I do love about this, as soon as Eric gets home and whenever he's walking around, the line he says is like, nobody's home, goodbye pants. And I was like, that is the most relatable thing.
It is very, very relatable. I almost immediately upon entering my home in which I live alone do change my pants to comfortable pants.
Yeah. It just fits. I did think it was nuts that they were already kissing, but like, good for them, I guess. She already just like invited herself in, so I didn't that was gonna be the ending there.
Feels like Jack's an easy mark, honestly. Poor guy. Is that boy okay? He just wants some attention, honestly, it seems like.
I know that Starbucks was a thing because it's from like the 70s.
Is it?
Yeah, I looked it up because of this episode. I was pretty off point
when I heard there was a Starbucks. I was like, did we have Starbucks back then?
I think the reason why is because it's the Seattle company. Like, it was its own thing just on the West. Yeah. And for people that are younger than us and listening to it, there was a really popular time in the 2000s where Starbucks just started infiltrating everything, everywhere, where they would make jokes constantly on like late night shows or SNL or just TV shows in general about the fact that there's like a Starbucks on that corner and a Starbucks on that corner and a Starbucks on that corner, like all in the same vicinity. Yeah. And so just to hear that, I was not expecting like, oh, they're already in Philly in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But it was just because, like, they were everywhere all of a sudden.
Yeah.
In the 2000s.
You know what's so crazy? I went past my old dorm today to get to this barbershop. And there was a store on the corner that has been several things since I was a freshman in college. It was a Caribou Coffee for a while. It was a Pete's Coffee. I think it was something else at some point. But now it's a Starbucks. And I was genuinely upset that it took so long to become a Starbucks, because I was like, if it had been a Starbucks while I was in college, I would have been there every day. I would have been there. And so I was so sad that it was like, now it's a Starbucks, now it had all this time to become a Starbucks, and now it's a Starbucks. Anyway,
so sorry for you.
You can cut that. I just really wanted to tell
something. I'm not gonna. We were just talking about Starbucks. I'm gonna
It's kind of relevant.
I just read something recently that Caribou Coffee is bringing a whole bunch of stores back to Michigan, and I got so happy because I have not been to Caribou in ages.
Yeah.
And what I'm hoping is that they don't do the modernist trend where there's just nothing in the store, because one of my favorite things about Caribou was
it's like all woodsy.
It was so woodsy. Yeah. It was so warm. Like, you went on a winter day and it just felt so cozy.
It did.
And so I've just been so excited. I saw that yesterday.
That's really fun.
Yay.
I love that. There was a Caribou Coffee in my hometown, and then there wasn't anymore. There stopped being a Caribou Coffee. The next scene, we are still in the apartment. Eric and Jack are stretching on the floor, and Eric says, you know, Jack, I'm really glad you met somebody, but don't you find her a little freaky? And Jack says, why? Because she chose me instead of you? Eric looks up and says, I didn't even think of that. The door buzzes and Eric yells to come in. We can't move. Millie enters with a tray of food and juice, and Jack gets up off the floor when he sees her. She says, I was up all night thinking about you. She sees Eric and says, what is he doing here? Eric's like, gee, I don't know, Mill. I live here. She says, I bought breakfast for you, Jack. Smells good. Then pointedly at Eric, doesn't it? Eric just makes a face and she says, why don't we go have it out on the balcony? She starts to walk there and Eric gets in her way. Oh, Millie, too bad. So sad. You're going to be eaten all by yourself. See, Jack and I are running up the rocky steps today. She turns back to Jack and says, but Jack, I plan the rest of your life. I mean day. I thought we'd take a nice long walk and then come back and sit outside and wait for dark. She kisses him and Eric yells, stop, stop, stop that. Now we've been stretching for this jog since September. We're finally limber. Millie says to Jack, why is he attacking me? Which is wild. This, I've got to say. For anything you can say about Millie, she does play this kind of perfectly.
Yeah.
It's wild. Jack goes, Eric, you're upsetting Millie, okay? And then to Millie, I would love to spend the day with you. Eric repeats this mockingly, and then Sean comes out of his room in a robe and says, oh, good, you're still here. I got up early to give you a send-off for the big jog. Hey, who wants Rocky hats? Eric takes one and says, thank you, Sean. That's sweet of you. But see, he's not going. He chose her over me. Don't you see what she's doing to you, Jack? Hugging you, holding you, kissing you. It's just wrong. He leaves and Jack introduces Millie to Sean. Sean says, I'm Jack's brother. Millie says, oh, another hunter. So nice to meet you. Great apartment. I love your balcony. Sean's like, we have a balcony? The door buzzes and she says, that's for me, and goes to the door. My roommates want to see your balcony. She opens the door to three girls, all in black. So now that's eight girls in 3B. Eight girls that live in 3B. Okay.
And they're all different.
They're all different. None of them are the same. They all walk in and head for the balcony, and Sean says, hey, I want to see it too, and follows them out, and that's the end of the scene.
Boy. I know that it was funny. I'm so used to scene switching so much in, like, different environments just in the show, and for it to just go from one apartment scene and then just go right to the next apartment scene.
I know.
It threw me off a little bit because we don't see that a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It'd be like if one scene in the Matthews house was like in the living room and then like you think it would go to like the kitchen or even like the school, but like it's still the living room.
Yeah. And time has passed, right? It's like the next day or something.
Yeah.
So.
It was a very visually alarming thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, Millie's very persistent. Mm-hmm. Just wants to be in front of Jack and with Jack at all times. Which again, this boy is just kind of not like whipped, but a little bit, because he's just wanting that attention. And so for him to just like not see a bunch of not like full red flags, but kind of. Poor boy. The line that made me laugh was when Eric was like, gee, I don't know, Mill. I live here.
Yeah.
Because he literally says it in a way that is very funny. And also, he's right. Her saying the line of, I plan the rest of your life really quickly, I was like, girl. Yeah.
I mean day.
Barely tried to hide so it. Casually.
It's, I know.
Very fast. And yeah, the why is he attacking me? He isn't.
He literally isn't.
Eric Matthews would never. Have you met him?
Have you? Clearly.
I thought it was really cute, the fact that Sean brought them hats.
I know. It's really so sweet. Like, and for Eric, too, to be like, this is really sweet. Like, thank you. Because it's a moment sort of like, Jack's not going, but it's like, Sean got up early and got them a little gift for their jog, and that's so cute.
He made sure to get up, to give him a hat to also fit in with the outfit for the Rocky steps.
It's literally so, nice. So cute. Sean is like very much himbo in this episode.
He didn't even know that they had a balcony, okay? How long? They've lived there for like 3 months at this point.
It's been minimum 3 months, yeah.
And yeah, the last note I had was just three new girls. So eight total now, all different.
Eight total in 3B.
This is the new Feeny's office. Yes. The revolving door of just how many girls can we get in this one room?
Mm-hmm. It's very fun. Okay, next scene. We are still at the apartment. It's later. Eric is eating popcorn in the kitchen and heads back to the couch as the TV announces the conclusion of Halloween Part 9. Someone on TV screams. Eric screams. This happens again. And then Millie enters the apartment and he screams when he sees her. She turns on the light and he says, how did you get in here? She holds up a key and says, Jack made me a set. Bug ya. Which I honestly love so much. It's so funny. She like waves it in his face and goes, "Bug ya," and rolls her eyes. And it's like deeply powerful. Anyway, Jack comes out and greets Millie, and Eric says, "Jack, we have to talk." Millie says, "Fine, talk to him. He belongs to me now." She kisses him and then heads out to the balcony. Jack says, "Boy, she really loves it out there." Eric says, "You made her keys." Jack's like, "She's my girlfriend." And Eric says, "Oh yeah? What's her last name, Jack?" Jack's like, "I don't have to answer that." "What do you have against her?" Eric says, "I don't know, man. It's hard to find the words. Mean, creepy, evil, cold-hearted. Actually, once you get started, it just kind of..." Jack cuts him off. "What is your problem? I meet someone, I'm happy." Eric says, "You are not happy. You're just a sweet, dumb farm kid who picked up with the first pretty girl who flashes him a smile." Jack retorts, "I'm from New York City." Eric replies, "That town ain't so tough." "Look, sweetie, I'm just trying to look out for you. I'm trying to make sure you don't get hurt. I'm just trying to be your friend." Jack says, "If your idea is being my friend is to stop me from having a girlfriend, maybe stick to be my roommate." Eric says, "Fine." And they bounce back and forth fines a couple of times before Eric turns this movie back on. Jack heads out to Millie, but not before Eric screams at the movie again. And that is the end of the scene.
Ugh, boy. Eric's boy. Yelling at the beginning of the scene is so funny.
Is that like, why you fully fell apart?
Yeah, because I remembered like the way that it happens and how many times it happens. Yeah. And the fact that he just does it right to Millie.
Yeah. Screams in her face, basically.
Yeah, okay. The way that she says it is very powerful. The idea that Jack just gave her a key already.
It's been minimum days.
Boy.
Maximum days. It's been maximum maybe 2 days. What are you doing? It's crazy that she has keys to his apartment. Crazy.
And yeah, her then saying like, "He belongs to me now."
It's wild.
There's just a lot happening. It's very possessive. It's very bad. But
I remember when I was recapping this part of the episode, I was like, man, we must be like full, like halfway through the episode by now. This is in the first like third. It's in the first like 6 minutes. And I'm like, this is really, there's so much happening this entire time.
Yeah, it's just bad. And again, it's still in the apartment. This is the fourth scene in a row that we have in the apartment.
And there's not many that aren't in the apartment.
Yeah. I think there are like three or four total.
Three total, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a bummer. I mean, like, obviously that's the point of this is like we have this conflict of Jack and Eric now being like, stick to being my roommate and not being a friend. That's just sad.
It is sad.
You never want to hear that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think Jack's, open your eyes.
I know. It's like so obvious too. It's really interesting that Jack and Eric, for all intents and purposes, like are each other's only friends more or less. Like for all of like Jack being like, I get to tag along because I'm the new guy and I don't know anyone. Like Eric also only hangs out with Jack. So it's like both of them don't really have friends. And for them to like have this kind of conflict of like, well, if you're trying to be my friend, like just be my roommate because this isn't like what friends do. But like, it is. He's trying. I mean, maybe you shouldn't use so many harsh words, Eric. But he is doing like what he thinks is like the right thing, and what it, for all intents and purposes, is the right thing. He's like trying to warn his friend about this like kind of sketchy person that they're dating. Which, as a person, I have done this many times with my friends, and my friends have done it for me. Like that is friendship, and realistically, we always ignore it.
It's a very accurate portrayal.
This is of a very what Jack accurate is doing. We always are just kind of like, yeah, but, you know, and it's so I get it. I get it. On some level, I get it. Especially since Millie's obviously being very sweet to him. It's hard for him to like see it, but this is brutal.
I didn't get back together with my shitty ex 3 times.
You didn't?
Definitely didn't. Couldn't be me. This is not relatable. This is just ignoring all the red flags. Anyway.
So the next scene, we are in the Matthews kitchen, a new place. Corey and Topanga comes down the stairs, excited about an upcoming trip to Pittsburgh to visit Topanga's parents. She says, "Can you think of anything more romantic?" He says, "Yeah, a weekend in Pittsburgh without your parents." She replies, "We'll have plenty of time alone during our long, intimate drive up," and kisses him. He says, "Oh, there's not going to be any driving," and throws some like pamphlets on the counter, which she frantically picks up and says, "What are these?" He tells her, 2 plane tickets to Steeltown. We are going to be kissing 20,000 feet above the ground. Her mouth goes wide and she says, "Oh, there's no way I can fly." He's like, "Why not?" She says, "Because I'm morally opposed to it." Technically speaking, this is a good argument. Planes are terrible for the environment, especially for that short of a distance. Uh-huh. She's not wrong. But he's like, "What? Flying?" And she goes, I thought you said hunting whales.
Sure.
he smiles. Wait a minute. You're afraid to fly. She says, no, I'm not. I don't think I am. I don't know, Corey. I've never been on a plane before. He says, no, come on. Everyone's been on a plane. Horses go on planes. Check your privilege, Corey. She says, well, I don't, and I'd appreciate it if you didn't make fun of me. He apologizes and says, why don't we discuss this fear of flying over a nice dinner? Or are you afraid of restaurants, too? She says, if you want to be insensitive, then you can eat alone. She goes to leave, and he says, you know, you used to think I was funny. She makes a little face at him, and that's the end of the scene. Corey's being a bad boyfriend.
Point of order, she has already been on a flight before. They went to Disney World.
Oh, yeah! You're so right. No, they drove. They drove all
There's
the way to Disney
no
World.
No way that they drove they all the way to they Disney flew. World for that little tiny trip. No.
That is very funny. You're absolutely right. I totally forgot about that.
How could they forget?
I mean, listen, we are in, this is the land of once a week. That was, what, 2 years ago at this point?
I know, but it's...
It is a really big plot point.
The unfortunate thing about this show is that they do so many continuity things really, really well. Mm-hmm. And then just some that seem fairly obvious.
That they just drop the ball on.
Yes. Like this one. The Disney one was a big one.
It was a big episode. Yeah, you're absolutely
That's when
right.
they're together again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they were just together. Like, nah, she's never been on a plane.
She's never been on a plane. For plot. For what plot, really? This is a B story and it means nothing. And also, she could have been still afraid of flying without having never been on a plane.
Yeah. Well, she could have been on the plane and then just hated it, you know?
Yeah. And just been like, I'm afraid of flying. And like, I've and only flown that. Once and it was scary, you know? Like, yeah. She didn't have to be completely new to it, but, you know?
What's also crazy, too, I love her idea of the long intimate drive because that is
that would
very
be so
lengthy
nice.
Thing. It's nice to just like have a road trip, especially with somebody that you love. It's mm-hmm. just a nice experience. I was concerned a bit because I didn't actually realize how far Philly and Pittsburgh were whenever it was like, we got plane tickets to Pittsburgh. And I was like, how is that long?
How far are they? Did you look it up?
So it's like a 5.5 hour drive.
Oh,
so
it's not bad.
Yeah, but, like, the flight would make sense then. I thought it was, like, a couple, like, an hour or two.
I thought it was 3, and I was still like, this
that's
is a pretty
flight.
Short flight. Yeah. I mean, realistically, a 5-hour drive, that's still only, like, maybe 30 minutes in the air max.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you're flying a 747. Maybe not what they were flying, which we will soon find out about.
Yeah, it'd be a very quick flight. But, yeah, I was so thrown off because I was like, I swear she's been on a flight. And I know that she has because they
you
went
were
to
right.
Disney.
100%.
Ugh. Also, yeah, you're right about him needing to check his privilege because not everybody can fly.
Yeah, man.
And I know that it was way cheaper back then, but...
But still.
Not everybody has been able to fly.
Right. It's just weird. Sometimes they characterize Corey and I'm like, am I supposed to like this guy? Because he's being kind of a dick.
Also, again, think about it. Pre-9/11, they don't have to do like any security or do
Yo,
nothing.
That's true. Dang. So weird to think about.
It's a whole process now. It costs so much. Thing. I gotta get there early.
Yeah. Okay, next scene. We are back on the apartment balcony. Millie is out there chanting and summoning the Lord of Darkness. The last thing she says is, your work will be done, but there is one who stands in the way. We then see an arm reach out and touch her shoulder. It's Eric. He says, hey, Millie man. Am I the one who's standing in the way? She asks, how much did you hear? And he says, I heard you talking to Satan. We then hear Jack call out, hey guys, got the pizza, as he heads out to the balcony. Soon as he's in eyesight, Millie slaps Eric. He screams, ow, Jack, did you see that? Millie, though, is playing innocent and cries, he tried to kiss me. Jack pushes Eric and says, you creep, and goes to Millie. Eric yells that she was talking to Satan. Millie feigns confusion and he continues, Jack, I think she's a witch, and not a good witch like Glinda, but a bad witch like with the monkeys. Millie says, are you going to let him talk to me like this? Jack turns to Eric, I don't believe you, man. For the first time, I'm doing something without you. You can't handle it, and you try to take my girlfriend. Eric says, she doesn't belong to you, Jack. She belongs to El Diablo. Jack says, you just can't state it because the new guy in town doesn't need your help. Eric says, all right, I'm not going to talk about this anymore. You got to make a choice, man. It's either her or me. He sort of tries to, like, look appealing at Jack, and Jack says, you're just my roommate, Eric. Millie is much, much more than that. Eric, not picking up, says, we're waiting. Millie rolls her eyes. He chose me. Eric's like, when? And Jack just gives him a look and he says, all right, now wait a second. I'm not moving out. Millie says, well, it's up to you because I'm moving in. Eric just like tisks at her and that's the end of the scene.
She's moving in.
It's been maybe 5 days at this point. Maybe.
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 It could have only been like three.
Yeah. Realistically, it could have easily been three. It's very strange.
Yeah. I not really clocking at this point yet that it was the Halloween episode because I, again, didn't know that it was Halloween. As soon as she was out on the balcony, I was like, she's a witch? Like, it was such a weird reveal for myself. But given the rest of the context of this episode, it's very funny. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just, as him coming out on the balcony and just being like, is that me that you're like talking about?
Am I the one standing in your way?
But to then just to slap him, I was like, girl, what are you doing?
It's wild. It looks like a really real slap too.
I wonder.
I feel like Will Friedle would have been like, yeah, really hit me.
Yeah. I mean, he has to have been, but I'm trying to think like if it was planned or not.
Oh, it had to have been.
I don't know.
There's no way of knowing. We'll have to see a script.
Yeah, I think Jack has now earned the title of Sweet Little Idiot. It's truly. No longer Sean. I mean, it still is, but
it's still a little bit Sean.
Now we've
the Hunter clan can just kind of have it.
It's just all of them, okay?
Yeah, it's just all of them.
I did think it was. I hate that Eric like gave him the ultimatum, but the way that he does it and the little smile that he has with like the hands on his hips.
Yeah.
Again, another like, very funny thing that I don't expect to happen in the show, and then cracks me up. I think the most out of this entire scene. Also, just for him to not get it about Jack being basically saying that it's her without actually being Millie. Like, I'm choosing Millie. And for him to be like, when? When did that happen? Is very good. But yeah, just the fact that she's moving in, like, come on.
It's genuinely crazy.
I know that there are probably like seven other girls, Millie, but you have to be in 3B.
It's genuinely crazy. And also, I'll get into this in the next scene.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's really wild. I know a lot of it is chalked up to the like fast paced timing of like, this is a sitcom. We got to get through the story in 20 minutes, but it is crazy to be like, she's moving in.
Yeah.
Moving in.
Like the key was one thing.
Yeah.
Which was still crazy.
Already
then.
Too much. Yes.
However, moving in is an entirely new situation that should not be happening this fast.
It's wild.
Any sane person in a relationship or not in a relationship could tell you that, but Jack just blinders.
Yeah, blinders on for this pretty blonde girl. The next scene, we are still at the apartment. Eric is sitting on the kitchen counter in a truly uncomfortable looking position as Jack puts a box down next to him. He says, I can't believe you're letting her move in here. Jack says she's only staying for a few days, okay? She's having trouble with her roommates. That's an insane thing to say for the amount of stuff that they're moving into this house during the scene.
Yeah. They're fully, like, unpacking.
Yeah, it's like boxes of things. Weird. She's having trouble with her roommates. Eric says, oh, what's the problem? They don't like evil. She's a witch, Jack. Jack's like, stop calling her names. Millie puts a cauldron down in the kitchen, which Eric notes. And Jack says, it's Halloween. It sets the mood. In the, like, top area of the apartment, Sean is helping a girl in all black and says, so, Rosemary, how's the baby? She rolls her eyes and walks away. We cut back to Jack saying, look, we're going to be living together. Can we at least try to get along? Eric asks where she's going to sleep, her beloved balcony. Jack says, actually, yes. Eric hops off the counter. You got yourself a good one there, Jack. Jack replies, get off my back, Matthews. And Eric says, you know what? You know something? Fine. I'm off your back. I thought you and I were friends, but I guess I was wrong. I'm just another name on your lease. He leaves and Jack heads up to Sean. You believe him calling Millie a witch? Sean's like, she's not? I assume she was. Jack says, what are you saying? Sean goes, I'm saying she's a witch. At least that's what I heard. Anyway, I'm going to go help the rest of the coven. Hey, Barbie, let me get that box for you. Ooh, there's something breathing in here. That's that. Jack goes out to Millie on the balcony, who's like summoning thunder, and she kisses him hello. And he says, look, I don't know your last name, and I'm okay with that. So he still hasn't bothered to learn it, I guess. But there's something I got to know. She looks at him expectantly, and he says, are you a witch? She replies, I am. Does that bother you? He says, I've never dated a witch before. And she says, well, this isn't the 16th century, Jack. Witchcraft isn't spooky. It's just a belief. Actually, we do a lot of good. For instance, our Pittsburgh chapter works with inner city kids. He says, I didn't know that. She stops. Well, maybe then you should check. That softens. Sweetie, you do what you have to do. But just know that no one will ever feel about you the way that I do. No one. He says, entranced. I love you. She replies, I know you do. Tomorrow is October 31st. Halloween. We're going to have a party. I'm going to introduce you to all your new friends. We're going to have fun. He repeats fun and nods, and that is the end of the scene. Big sigh.
Just, Jack, what the hell? I really love at the beginning with Eric just being like, she's a witch, Jack. is very good. But Sean making a Rosemary's Baby reference, also very funny.
Very funny, yeah.
Because again, Sean is another, I guess it's like more of a pop culture thing, but like Sean is a character that is quote unquote like dumb compared to other people. And so yes, for like him to also just pull and reference things, I think is really funny.
Yeah.
But again, I know that he keeps up with media, so it does make sense.
But still fun.
Yeah, I felt bad whenever he was saying like just another name on your lease. Because again, that's a bad, sad scenario.
I know.
And he doesn't deserve it because he's just genuinely trying to help his friend. Yeah. And the friend is just love struck and doesn't make sense even after listen. He finds out that she's a witch.
He's still into it.
He's still very much into it, and it's not the best. I love that he tries to get Sean on his side a little bit, like, can you believe that? And Sean's like, she's not
a witch. What do you mean? I thought she was.
Not even like having talked with her that much, just being like, yeah, I just assumed.
Like, she just seems like a witch. Is she not a witch? I'm gonna go help the rest of the coven.
Just nice little line.
Speaking of this coven, Jack says she's staying because she's having problem with her roommates. All of her roommates are helping her move in. So how many problems are they having?
Clearly not enough.
It's so weird how Jack like refuses to dig into any of the things that she's saying, like, ever. It's so weird.
Yeah. No red flags.
None.
Just having rose colored glasses on. Yeah, I think the thunder every time that Millie like seems to be there and on the balcony mm-hmm. is very funny because she's just standing there. All of a sudden, it's like,
yeah, it's wild.
And yeah, just for her to admit, like, I am a witch. And
we do good. We work with inner city kids, which like witchcraft is there's like a whole subsect of people who like study witchcraft, and it is just a belief, but like she is summoning Satan, so
it's kind of different. And also it's nuts to be like, yeah, but we have some good things. Like, okay, there are other organizations who also like do good things and true, like help true. Out people, and they're also shitty, so two things can be the same.
Yeah,
like
two
that
things can be true.
Yeah, and then they just immediate switch in her tone and how she's talking to him. I was like, oh, if he doesn't even see it now, I can't help him.
There's no helping him. Yeah, maybe you should gone. check.
It scared me the way that Candace is acting in this episode. Is actually very well done.
It's really good. It's really, I mean, it's bad, but it's good because it's good in that way.
Again, like, you know her as being mm-hmm. this really lovable DJ Tanner in Full House and just being like the good girl, especially in that show. And so it's really fun to see that kind of character flip of her own self.
That's like my favorite thing when actors do, they get to play like
when they get ranged.
Yeah, but just like playing like either like a dark version of themselves or just like a flip of a character where they were like originally a very like cute, like happy-go-lucky, and then they're playing this like dark version of either character of themselves. I think that's so fun and clever. It happened a lot in the Vampire Diaries like franchise because everybody was flipping their humanity switch, and I just think that's a really cool display of acting. It's like one of my favorite things.
Yeah, and it's fun whenever you get like typecast and then just seeing like how they can actually kind of break out of that and being like, I am not like that. I am actually an actor, and respect me a little bit, please. My thing is, do you think Candace Cameron's I can't even say her name. Candace Cameron would approve of this now.
Oh, certainly not.
I know, right?
Certainly not. The witchcraft, absolutely not.
Just look back at it, hating it. God, what happened?
I know, truly.
Oh, people just have to talk. Not everybody from that show ended up bad.
I know. It's, you know, it's one of them things. It's one of them things. And we will ponder these things right now as we take a short break. But we'll be right back with more of The Witches of Penbrooke right after this.
Hello, everybody. It's Sid. Welcome to The Midroll, the spot where we do announcements, featured ads, and anything else that we want to talk about. First things first, thank you so much for your patience with this release schedule that we have for May. It's kind of chaotic between vacations and sicknesses and sleep schedules being messed up. and work and just a ton of things that are happening this month. So we do really appreciate it. Once again, we put it out on Twitter whenever we didn't have an episode from last week. And that's typically where we do release announcements about our episodes. So if you do want to be the most up to date, please give us a follow there. And you'll be in the know with stuff. But once again, really, thank you so much. We do anticipate on releasing these once again in a more consistent basis, but May is definitely going to be a little bit chaotic. So thanks for understanding. Second thing second, I've never started out this part without the first things first. So if you like our show and any of the others on the network, please consider backing us at patreon.com/thescavengersnetwork for just $2. Yes, it's only $2 a month. You can get access to hours and hours of bonus content, and every donation helps support us and the network that we live on. You know, summer is right around the corner, and if you're going on a vacation or you just want to have a little bit more protection from the sun, because we all need protection from the sun, you can get yourself any one of our hats that we have available. We have our Sweet Little Idiot Dad hat, and we also have our Nostalgia Buds bucket hat. So go on over to the Scavengers Network shop on www.scavengersnetwork.com/shop. Click on the Lost Years and pick up one of our hats. They're fun and fashionable, and you get protected from the sun, people. So get yourself one. And if you do happen to have any of the Lost Years merch, please share it with us, tag us, show it off. We'd love to see it. We love to see our stuff out in the wild, and we love also getting to support you, our listener. Okay, I'm going to keep this a little bit short and sweet so we can get back into the episode since, again, our sleep schedule, oh my goodness, I need to go to bed myself. Our release schedule is a little wonky, but let's dive right back in. So if you have water nearby, you should drink it. And if not, you should go get some. I really need to go to bed. I need a little snack as well. Go ahead and get one because you need to treat yourself and you deserve it. Thanks for joining us. Let's get back to the episode.
Well, Daniel, it looks like Frankenstein's Jukebox is going to be joining the Scavengers Network.
I heard. It's very exciting. But it does mean we need to write an ad.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Okay, I have an idea. You know how on Frankenstein's Jukebox, we take two songs from a given year and pull out the things we like about them and use those aspects to make a new song?
Of course. We call that new song a song promise.
Well, what if we used a similar strategy with our ad?
Hey, I think that's a great idea. What are some aspects of your favorite podcast ads?
Well, I like ads where the two hosts are talking to each other, pretending like they're not doing the ad.
That's a good one. I like when the information about the show is presented in a way that demonstrates the concept of the show.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so let's use those aspects to make an ad. Actually, wait, there's one more thing I love in a podcast ad.
That's so funny, because I have one more thing, too. You go ahead.
No, please, I insist.
Same time?
Same time. One, two, three.
A bicycle horn at the very end of the ad to show that even though we love music and take the assignment seriously, we're also just a couple of sillies.
Huh.
Okay.
Well, I guess we have to have that aspect.
Frankenstein's Jukebox, the second Wednesday of every month, with song promises being released when we finish them, on the Scavengers Network.
And we're back on an airplane. Topanga and Corey board a small airplane with Topanga looking terrified. She says, okay, please tell me this is a shuttle that takes us to the real plane. He's like, Topanga, it's a real plane. It's a real airline. She asks how much the tickets cost, and he says, $12. It's a good deal because they just got out of bankruptcy. She gives him a look and says, Corey, this is my first flight. Please don't make jokes. He says, I know you're worried, but rest assured. A good plane is like a fine wine. It only gets better with age. The captain then enters and introduces himself as Dexter Jorgensen. Because of the nature of these smaller airplanes, I'm going to have to redistribute some of the weight for them for takeoff. Ma'am, you're perfect where you are. Sir, could you take that seat over there? Corey says, got it, and goes to get up. And that's the end of the scene, but we'll continue. The plane is up in the air now, and Topanga says, okay, just go to my happy place. Bunnies. Cute little bunnies. Cute little bunnies and tiny crashing planes. Corey, please get over here now. Corey says, I have to wait for the ding. Jorgensen looks back and goes, ding. So Corey gets up and sits in the seat next to Topanga and says, well, we have definitely learned one thing. You are not a good flyer. She replies, and you are going to make a very insensitive husband for somebody else. She puts on headphones and the captain turns around and says, hey, you're Eric Matthews' brother. Corey says, yes. He's like, I went to school with Eric. Say hi to him for me. Corey's like, Captain, when you say you went to school with Eric, you mean you were his teacher, right? Captain laughs, ha, yeah, that's funny. No, Eric used to tutor me. Smart kid, your brother. Wish I had his brains, wouldn't be doing this. Corey and Topanga make scared faces at each other, and that is the end of the scene.
Boy.
Point of order, it is really hard to be a pilot.
Yeah, the fact that he kind of just has a license all of a sudden and can fly when he's...
in theory, stupid?
Yeah.
Is not, that does, that math is not mathing.
There's a lot of training that goes into it.
A lot of training.
She's afraid of flying, and he takes her into this, like, tin can of a plane.
The worst possible plane to be, like, afraid of. You're gonna feel everything in that plane.
Corey's a bad boyfriend in this episode.
100%.
She just wanted to go on a nice long drive with him.
And it would have been really nice.
Yeah.
A 5-hour drive is honestly not that bad, and... It's probably pretty. It's like Northeast.
What got me was the man who's flying this plane is not paying attention half the time because he's like looking back at Corey and Topanga and just trying to chat with them. And I'm like, you're flying the plane. But the plane is so small.
It's so tiny.
I would be horrified. And the fact that then he says that Eric, of all people, used to tutor him. Like, that's... definitely not the best, because even though
not what
Eric
you
had a
hear.
Brain in the past couple of seasons, he did not really. And so it's just a bad case scenario. So if I were Topanga, I too would be frightened. But now Corey can feel it too, and that's kind of a nice slap back.
I know, at least he's like now with her in the sense of like, oh no, this is scary.
Yeah,
but like, I don't like the process that it took for him to get there. Nope. Like, that's annoying. You're not being a good person right now. Your girlfriend's having a hard time and you're like, LOLOL, it's so funny. You're not a good flyer. It's not nice. Do better. So the next scene, we are in Feeny's backyard. Feeny is holding a like basket of candy above Morgan and two other random children, telling them that they have to say trick-or-treat because it's the rules. Morgan eventually relents and he gives them each a pocket thesaurus, which they boo, and some candy, which they like, and then they leave. Eric then walks up and asks if he could crash at Feeny's place, and Feeny's like, no! Why? And Eric explains, I had a fight with Jack about his girlfriend. Same old story, you heard it 1,000 times. She's a witch, she talks to the devil, and apparently I'm standing between her and the doorway to hell. Feeny says, you're definitely not sleeping here. And Eric says, I know, but of all the nights to fight, I mean, Halloween, it's the one holiday that's supposed to bring loved ones together. Which is nothing. Feeny says, yes, well, I'm sure your friendship is strong enough that you'll endure a little argument. Eric replies, friends aren't supposed to let girls come between them, but Jack has made it perfectly clear I'm just his roommate. I don't know why I'm letting this bug me. Feeny says, well, if he was just your roommate, you wouldn't be out here talking to me. Now, Eric, just think of some way to get him to hear you. Eric says, you didn't even break a sweat on this one. Feeny replies, I hate to see people fight on the only holiday that brings loved ones together. He gives him some candy and a thesaurus, and Eric says, Merry Halloween, Mr. Feeny, and leaves as Feeny's phone starts to ring. It's Corey. He's calling on a cell phone from the plane? High tech.
Wild.
We get a split screen and Corey is calling to ask if he can look up Dexter Jorgensen. At this point in my notes, I wrote the wrong name.
Mm-hmm.
I think I wrote, it wasn't Duncan, but that's what I want to say now, but it wasn't Dexter. And then I had to go back and be like, oh, it was Dexter. So that was just, that's a fun little tidbit for you from me. Feeny tells him that those files are confidential, but wants to know why he's asking. Corey says, he's my pilot. Feeny says, uh-oh, whatever you do, don't get on that plane. We see the plane shaking as Corey says, goodbye, Mr. Feeny. I love you very much. The split screen breaks as Feeny says, I'm sure you'll be fine, Corey, and hangs up. Corey says, I've lost him. Topanga and sees her seat is empty. Oh no, Topanga, I've lost you too. Topanga turns around from the cockpit and says, no, Corey, I'm right here. She is wearing the pilot's hat and Corey says, what are you doing? She says, well, Dexter heard this is my first time flying and that I was afraid and unlike you, he cared. So he asked me to come up here and face my fears and now I'm flying the plane. Then turns and says, Dexter, who replies, yes, my co-pilot. She asks if it's all right to see what this bird can do, and he tells her to go for it. So she sends the plane diving. Corey screams, and that is the end of the scene and also of this plot. This plot is over now.
Spoiler alert, they died.
They died, and we never see them again, actually.
Oh, this is so silly and just not needed.
Yeah, it's nothing. They really were like, oh, we got to fill like 5 minutes. What can we do?
I really love at Feeny's. Whenever Feeny is just holding the candy hostage and is like, say trick or treat. It's the rules.
It's like, the rules.
I love this man.
She's like, trick or treat. And he's like, say it like you mean it.
He's just so committed to it. And I really appreciate it. And then him to give them books for Halloween.
It's so Feeny.
Chef's kiss, because of course he is.
Yeah.
I also really love that Eric, rather than staying at his own parents' house, which is 10 feet away, says, can literally. I crash at your place?
Your parents literally live next door. Like, just go home. You wouldn't even need to ask.
And yeah, I think this is, spoiler, this is what I pulled from the episode as well, is Eric saying the friends aren't supposed to let girls come between them, but it's just like, it's true with relationships. It's like, you know, I'll talk about it in a little bit. But I don't know, it's nice that they were also just able to have that little Feeny and Eric moment. And for him to also be like, yeah, I'm the holiday that brings people together. Like, the one
Merry
holiday.
Halloween.
That's such a good line. And then he just walks away.
And he walks away and he's gone.
I will say it was really funny to see Feeny sit down, because you never get like the angle that they did.
Yeah.
But for him to sit down and only be on the right, I was like, something's coming up on the left. And of course, whenever like they showed Corey, I was like, he's on the left side of the screen in his shot. And so I'm like, side by side is coming up. And then all of a sudden it's like the blocks.
It's
which
very fun.
I love that they do that.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And I love that out of everybody to call to, like, he's also calling Feeny and not
everybody needs
else.
Feeny. Yeah, Feeny answers. He's like, I need your help. And Feeny's like, I'm sure you do.
I love that he's like such a serious character of like giving all of these lessons and actually inspiring kids and like doing all these things. But he's also just this very funny figurehead of just like, I don't know why they all need me.
Yeah.
But they all need me. For
they
some reason, and I'm
me,
just here.
I guess.
Because again, he's like, he's not calling his parents. He's not calling Sean. He's not calling anybody else. He's like, Feeny, what
he
the heck do I do?
He could have called Eric and been like, hey, do you remember Dexter? But he called Feeny.
Which, like, I know makes sense with, like, he's in charge and everything.
Asking,
so, like, he would know. But it's so funny just for Feeny to be like, oh, you're going to be fine. I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's fine. Don't get on the plane, but you'll be fine.
And yeah, to just end it with Topanga flying the whole damn plane. There's no way.
There's no words, honestly.
That's all.
That's all. Okay, next scene. We are back at the apartment. The Halloween party has commenced and everyone in attendance is wearing black shroud robes, except for Millie, who's in like a designy red one and chanting and wooing. She says, come on, Jack, chant. Just open your soul and let the spirit take you to the place where darkness reigns. Jack laughs nervously. Can't we just bob for apples? Sean then runs out from the back and says, okay, I want to thank whoever provided the shrouds. Mine's a little snug. Anyone want to trade a medium for a large? I love Halloween. Jack asks how come they're all wearing the same costume, and Millie, in a raspy voice, snaps, it's not a costume. And Jack goes, my mistake. More chanting and wailing, with Sean just being really into it. The door buzzes and Millie answers it to some kids trick-or-treating. She gives one to two of the kids, but none to the girl in a witch costume. She says, you don't get any because you mock us, and slams the door and then puts her hood up, turns back to the party and says, it's time. Sean starts chanting again and Jack says, Millie, I want to break up. She says, I'm not Millie. I'm Ushkar, queen of malevolence, daughter of evil. Jack says, more scared now, Ushkar, I want to break up. The 100 boys are then grabbed by random shrouds as Millie says, it is time for the sacred light beam. Jack says, Sean, we're in trouble here. Sean's like, lighten up, have some fun. It's a Halloween party. We flip transition to them both tied to the banister, and Sean says, okay, this part sucks. Jack says to Millie, Eric was right. You lied to us and turned us against each other. Why? She says, we needed your apartment, you fool. From this exact spot on your balcony, once in 1,000 years, Valaris will come into alignment and Satan's tail will appear, sending a light beam through the crystal of death, ensuring our immortality and obliterating you. Everyone, like, woos again, including Sean. And Jack's like, Sean? And he says, what? It was starting to get fun again. Millie continues, it is written that in this very spot, on this very night, a hunter will be sacrificed. Two hunters is even sweeter. Eric then unshrouds himself and says, how about two hunters and a Matthews? Jack says, Eric, you've come to save us. Millie says, he wouldn't know how to save you. Eric goes, oh yeah, went to the bookstore last night, picked this up. He holds up a book and she says, The Bridges of Madison County. He tosses it and says, this, Witchcraft for Dum-Dums. Yep, think they mentioned a counterspell in here, and starts flipping through the book. We hear a clock chime and she says, it's too late, time for the sacrificial beam. Eric says, yep, just hold on a second, Ishtar. She continues, prepare to die the death of a thousand deaths. He says, ha, here it is, and then is struck with the light beam, which he just sort of responds like, ow, hot, 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 and wiggles around a bit before the beam stops. She's like, that's impossible. That light beam hit you and you're alive. He says, yep, sunscreen, SPF 45, plus a little zinc oxide on my bum. He shuts the book. Maybe next time, Satan. Sorry, guys. The coven groans, and he's like, yeah, yeah, it's a shame. Shut up. Come on, everyone out. The coven starts to leave, and Millie says to Jack as she passes him, it's too bad. You're cute. You're sweet. You'd have been the perfect sacrifice. Jack says, I appreciate that. But Eric stops her before she leaves for like total and asks for the keys back. She hands them over and he like gets in her face and says, you know, it's a shame you didn't fall for me. It could have been good. She glares but says nothing and leaves. Eric heads to the banister and unties Jack, who asks, I saw that light beam. Was that real? Eric says, maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. There are some things that are too big for our puny brains to comprehend. Sean just like ponders this and Eric says, well, it's still Halloween. I'm going to go find another party. Come on, Jack. Jack's like, wait, even after all the rotten things I've said to you, you're still going to invite me to come along? Eric says, of course, man. You're my friend. Jack sighs, I know that now. I'm a lucky guy, man. I'm buying. Eric says, you better. And they leave together. Sean, who is still tied to the banister, says, you gotta love Halloween. It really brings people together. And that's the end of the episode proper.
God. what the hell? This is very funny. I love at the beginning whenever Millie is like, come on, Jack, chant.
Let your spirit take you where darkness reigns.
It's just everything about it is very creepy. And I'm like glad that Jack is seeing it a little bit more now. I love the fact that Sean is like so into it though. He's just having the best time.
He's
even though it's awful.
He's too simple to have a bad time.
Yeah, he's just, I love Halloween.
I love the shrouds. Thank you for the shrouds.
yeah, her voice again doing a very creepy thing. And yeah, just saying like the because you mock us, I was like, girl, be for real right now.
Be so expeditiously for real right now.
Yeah, Jack being frightened, it all makes sense. It's starting to track. I'm glad.
The took fact him that just like a smidge too long, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah, way too long. But it's here now. And them getting like literally getting tied up. That was very funny because then Sean's like, I'm not having fun anymore like this. And yeah, I think whenever they all do the oohs and everything, like Sean oohing with him is all, yeah, is just very funny as well. A hunter will be sacrificed. I thought that was sure. It could have been like a hunter and not, yeah, like Jack and Sean.
Just a name. Yeah. It's honestly so funny because like obviously this thing was written like hundreds of years ago, right? So hunter definitely means like a physical, like a person who hunts, yeah, right? But in this context, they're like, nobody hunts. It's 1997 or whatever. So it's a hunter last name. She's like, Jack Hunter.
A loophole.
A loophole.
Yeah, I really... Eric's appearance, just how he comes out, it's like, how about two hunters and a Matthews? It's like, this is so
dramatic.
So dramatic for no reason, and I love it. Yeah, I don't know, just the sacrificial beam. Like, there are just so many things. The fact that it actually happened,
yeah,
it definitely made it for me, because you think that all of this is kind of ridiculous, because... Mm-hmm.
Because it is.
It is. And then for it to be a legitimate thing that comes down, Eric is not affected because he, like, took precautions, quote unquote. It's just very funny. Like, I wasn't expecting to see an actual thing. And then she's like, oh, man. And then just leaves.
Yeah, her plans were thwarted. So what's she going to do now?
It's just great. I love. And then for him to just be like, maybe next time, Satan. It's such a good line.
Yeah, it is.
God, I love that Jack and Eric have the little rekindling of sorts too, because it's like, yeah, you're friends, Jack. He cares about you. He's not, mm-hmm, just gonna ditch you, and he's still there for you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, be a better friend to him, I guess. Like, please,
he
learn
learns
that he's not just, yeah, your roommate, he's your friend. And what I'm assuming, best friends. So that's my prediction for the rest of the season. Oh, yeah? Is that they're just best friends and not friends.
Wow. I honestly don't know, Sid.
I couldn't see coming at all.
Who could guess? Truly. It's not like they're really setting that up or anything.
Not at all. No. What I did find funny, though, is that they just leave Sean.
They do just leave Sean. And Sean's like, this is fun.
He doesn't care.
I love Halloween. Really brings people together. What a goober. Yeah, man, I have nothing to add. This episode is silly and fun.
I really liked it. There are some filler episodes that, like, okay, they're not needed or whatever. Yeah. And I even like the B story. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous in itself.
Yeah.
But like as a whole, I really love this episode.
For sure. They don't all have to be deep, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes we could just have a little fun. It's Halloween. It's like the episode in, I want to say season 2, where Corey thinks he's a werewolf. They're just having some fun.
Yeah.
They're just having a good time.
Was it relevant to the rest of the plot? Absolutely not.
Did I like it? Yeah. Jack and Eric's friendship a little bit
more.
Yeah. But that's really it.
That's about it.
Silly fun times. All right, so end credits. We are back on the balcony. Eric and a girl we can't quite see are cuddling out there, which she says she loves. Eric says, warily, you do? And she breaks the hug, and we see that it's Sabrina, the teenage witch. She says, yeah, it's got a great view of the river, and you can see that guy watching TV in his underwear. Eric says, I've seen him. I was actually just wondering if seeing Valaris did anything for you. She asks, is that his name? Why are you so nervous? Eric apologizes. My buddy just kind of came off a spooky relationship. He was dating he was dating a witch. She says, what's so spooky about that? And pulls him back inside. So what's next? He says, I figured we'd go get a bite to eat. Is that cool? He calls out to Sean to ask if they want him to pick up anything for him. And Sean, who is inexplicably a frog, maybe it has something to do with a crossover ep that we haven't seen for Sabrina. I truly don't know. And I've never looked it up. He, as a frog, says, no thanks. I'm feeling a little bloated. Eric says bye to him. And Sean says, you gotta love Halloween. And that's the end of the episode in full.
He's still happy with Halloween.
He's just straight vibing. Like, he does not care.
Whenever they were setting this up, before I saw that it was Sabrina, the way that it was like, I don't know, like, I guess they showed her before. I just thought it was really good and funny. Because at first I was like, maybe it's just Melissa Joan Hart. But then I was like, no.
No, it's they wouldn't do that.
It's the witch episode. So then it was like, yeah, you know, like, he's a witch. Like, I'll just say it. And then her just being like, yeah, what's wrong with that?
What's spooky about that?
It's such a good crossover. I love all these 90s teen stars together in one episode. It's really fun.
It's so cute and fun.
And yeah, him also then just saying, like, her name is being Sabrina. I was like,
yeah.
I love a good crossover.
We're doing it. Yeah, man.
But Sean being a frog.
Sean's a frog, and we don't
get anything
why.
Else.
We don't get a resolution of that. He was tied to the banister, and now he's a frog, and that's that. And that's the end of the episode. Will Sean not become a frog? Did Corey and Topanga die in their plane? Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z. All that said, what was the lesson, Sid?
All right, the person that you're dating should not come between you and your friends.
Mm, a great one.
There are so many, like, ridiculous things that happened in this episode. Obviously, you just heard all of it, but that's probably one of the biggest ones. Like, yeah, date who you want to date, but, like, if it's starting to become an issue and you're, like, pushing everybody that you are very close with away, not great.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And if your partner is alienating you from your friends, that's maybe not someone you want to be dating.
Yeah. And how about, also, if your partner is making fun of things that you're scared of, think about it a little bit.
think about that one. That's maybe not a supportive partner that you want to have in your life. Topanga? Dump Corey. I know you guys are endgame, but break up.
Dump his ass.
He's not a great boyfriend.
I have two little trivia pieces as well.
Yay.
So the title of this episode is technically a riff off of the novel and then subsequent movie of The Witches of Eastwick.
That's what I thought. I was wondering if that was the case. I was like, that sounds like a thing, but I don't know what that thing is.
Yeah.
Cultural osmosis.
just enough. Which is just fun. But along with the episodes that we'd seen before of By Hook or By Crook and Stormy Weather, this is the only other episode in which Ben and Ryder do not share a scene together.
Oh, that's right.
They never had one.
Wow, that's so weird. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the last one in which they never share a scene. Yes. Wow, wow, wow. That makes sense based on what's coming next.
Yeah,
in the season. man, spoiler for next week's episode. It's nothing. I don't know if you've watched it.
I have not yet.
It's truly nothing. It has no bearing on anything. We could skip it and it would mean nothing.
I'm excited for that then. I love a random episode that...
I think that's about as fillery as it gets for like the rest of the season. Everything else sort of, from what I remember, plays into everything else.
Cool.
The episode right after next week's episode, one of my favorites of all time. And I'm very excited to talk about it. But this one episode... weird filler. It's like two back-to-back, like really hard. This one's less fillery because there is a little development, right?
Yeah.
But like next week is nothing. It's really nothing.
Maybe I'll watch it after this just so I can wind down a little bit.
Something to look forward to.
I'm going to just take a stab at the episode two from now. Is Angela in it?
Two from now, yes. Angela is in it. Yes.
I was like, There's a reason.
There is a reason.
There's got to be something. And I know that Angela comes back in the season because she is credited on season 5, obviously. Yes. Hell yeah.
I'm very excited. We can't. We got to wait.
It's going to happen. We
got to wait a couple weeks. We'll get there, but you'll hear it then, and you'll also see it then. And I've hyped it up a lot now.
It's trash.
It sucks, actually. No. No. Hey, welcome to the end of the episode. You've been here the whole time. Aren't you surprised? Welcome.
Okay, Sam. Yeah, if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The Lost Years Pod, where we share fun memes. We let you know when the episodes drop, and we also ask what you are nostalgic for. I was thinking if we wanted to have one because it's going to be a little bit further, but I have not really thought of anything. So
I also can't think of anything. Hold on.
I have something, I think, which could be fun to talk about.
So fast. Yes.
What was a piece of artwork that you had on your wall as a kid that you loved?
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's my question.
Our generation was the generation of poster-covered walls.
Hell yeah.
I feel like they don't... I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they still do that. But we had, like, Tiger Beat magazine and all that stuff. Like,
yeah, it definitely... It kicked up in the 80s. My parents definitely had a lot of posters. But, yeah.
I feel like it tapered off. Like, no children read print magazines anymore. Where would you get the posters?
That's such a big deal. Okay, we can't talk about that now.
Yeah, next week. That's great. I love that so much.
Hell yeah.
Tell us what posters, pictures you had on your walls in our email, as well as our social media. You can email us at thelostyearspod@gmail.com. We'll read your email on the show. You can also rate us and write a review on Apple Podcasts and all the places, and subscribe as well. All the places wherever you get podcasts. It really helps us out. It helps people find the show. And every time you do, I get 1 year added to my life. So,
yeah.
You can help me live forever.
Wow.
It's up to you.
Big ask.
I know, it's a lot of responsibility.
Do you really want to be here?
No, I don't. But I said it and I was like, damn, I really don't. I don't want to live forever. That's crazy. Anyway.
Thank you to the Scavengers Network for having us on the network. You can check out other cool shows like James and Aaron Minute Movies and Timeline Scavengers on www.scavengersnetwork.com.
.com. Our personal handles are, mine is Tayycro.
Wow.
T-A-Y-Y-C-R-O. Because I refuse to change my notes, apparently. I'm just
mine,
like,
too, is Tayycro.
Our personal handles are mine is Tayycro. That's actually the whole handle. No, you can find me on all the things at Tayycro, and Twitch at twitch.tv/itstayycro. I think by the time this airs, I will have just returned from my vacation. So go check out my TikTok. I will have certainly posted at least one thing, but hopefully more. I'm very excited for my cruise that as of recording this, I have not yet gone on, but as of you hearing this, I think I am currently on. No, I will have just returned from.
Wow.
Time is weird. Anyway.
It's weird doing episodes in advance when I don't actually know when these are dropping.
I'm like, what day is it? I don't even know who I am anymore. Anyway.
Heck yeah. I am on the internet everywhere at Sudsley. Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, everything that you can think of. That is me.
Hey, thank you so much for listening once again. And until next time.
You're Tay.
You're Sid.
Just like it's always been.
What else do you need to know?
Goodbye, fam.
Bye, fam.
Go to therapy.
The Scavengers Network.
Creator-driven. Community-focused. Treasured content.